there's a real urgency, there's a real need for churches to look, be more intentional in looking out for older people. I think often just because people perhaps are housebound behind closed doors, they tend to be forgotten, and that just breaks my heart.
Welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm head of national ministries for the FIEC, and it's a joy to be with you all again today, and also with Pippa and Steve. Hello, Pippa and Steve. Thank you for joining us. Pippa and Steve Cramer.
Hi.
And why don't we, let's hear a bit about them and who they are. Pippa, why don't you start? Tell us about yourself.
Okay, I'm Pippa. I am pastoral care and seniors minister at Holy Trinity Church in Claygate, Surrey. I've been doing that role for, about 12 years. I'm an occupational therapist by background, actually. And yes, married to Steve. We have two children, lots of animals, and yeah, that's me.
Great. Well, I thought you might be related. You have the same surname, Steve. And those who aren't watching will not know that you're sitting in front of a picture of Ben Stokes, the England cricketer. I'm not sure there's any link there, but Steve, who are you, Steve? Apart from being Pippa's husband, who are you?
I'm Pippa's husband. I'm Steve. I've been a Christian since I was about 14, so I didn't come from a Christian background. I have a job where I'm a director of a couple of companies, of a reasonably well-known steak restaurant brand, and I'm also a director of a social media business. Live with Pippa in Claygate and obviously part of our local church there.
Great. Well, it's good to have you with us. And we're here to talk about work amongst seniors, older people. Let's just get some of the terminology right. Maybe Pippa, I'll ask you about this because I'm always nervous about saying the wrong thing. I'm very sensitive. I don't want to upset people. I'm glad I've got your surname right, for example. So I'm always nervous about saying the wrong thing. How properly and appropriately and in a way that honours them, what sort of language should we use to describe those who are in later life? What's the right way to do that, Pippa?
Do you know, I'm not sure that there is a right way, actually, Adrian, other than, I mean...
That's a relief.
Yeah. I mean, I just tend to, I don't know, older people, seniors, elders, we've got so much to learn from our elders.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Whatever we use in this podcast, I think we'll be okay.
I think we should be. Yeah.
Now, tell us, Pippa, just, every church in the FIC, there's a wide range of churches in the FIC. There'll be large, small, in different contexts, villages, urban, you know, all different sorts of contexts. But every church in the FIC will have older folk in it or be having, having their a parish, to use Anglican term, and because you're in an Anglican church, they'll have older folk. So tell us why ministry to seniors is so neglected, really. There are things that we do for the whole church, obviously, that seniors are part of, but you're a seniors worker, Pippa. That's pretty rare, isn't it, in church life?
I think it is in terms of a paid seniors worker. Yeah. I don't think there are many of us around. I mean, plenty of people do have a real heart for older people and work alongside them. But yes, I think I'm quite unusual in that respect. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's a real urgency. There's a real need for churches to be more intentional in looking out for older people. I think often, just because people perhaps are housebound behind closed doors, they tend to be forgotten, and that just breaks my heart. I can't bear it.
Yes.
It's really important.
And would you say, Steve, the church is under-resourced? So it's not just seniors workers, isn't it? I mean, if you went into a Christian bookshop, if you could find such a thing these days, you would find a whole shelf of resources, wouldn't you, on working with young people, working in certain other contexts, but actually very, very few resources about how we minister to seniors, those who are already in the church, how we reach out to seniors. It's under-resourced, isn't it? Is that a fair assessment, Steve?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we all naturally think of church growth and building the church as building the next generation. But, the reality is the society we live in, the fastest growing demographic are those over 65. That's the largest portion of the population is that age group. And whilst, again, on average, the church is probably still swayed slightly towards that generation. There's still an enormous need and huge numbers of lovely but isolated people who are just longing to hear the good news about Jesus. And, and we do. We tend to forget them because they're not quite the glamorous, and we don't think of them as the future, but they are the now.
That's helpful. And statistically, of course, you know, without wanting to be overly blunt, nearer death. You know, that's just true, isn't it, statistically? So there is an urgency, actually, about sharing the good news with seniors. Is that, and are we honest enough about that, Steve? Are we clear enough about that, do you think, in church life?
I don't think we are. And I think I think as Christians, actually, the issue of death is one which we still actually often avoid, just as society does.
Of course.
And for many people, that is actually an oncoming reality. And it's something which, you know, weighs on people's minds heavily. And it's something which neither, you know, Pippa and her work and us as we go through what we do together, we try not to shy away from that, because I think you have to have an honest conversation that we're all facing it at some point. And it's not something to be afraid of. And there's good news to share around it.
Pippa, it'd be great to hear a little bit about what your week entails. I guess lots of churches might have youth workers. Perhaps someone leaves them a legacy. They think, who should we appoint to staff? They appoint a youth worker, or perhaps an evangelist generally, or a student worker if they've got students. But I don't know many churches. I know one or two in the FIC, but I don't know many churches that have a seniors worker set aside, although lots of churches are doing seniors work. So just give us a flavour of what your typical week might be, Pippa.
Well, I'm pastoral care and seniors, actually. So pastoral care, that's all of us, or whatever age we are. There's a big focus on seniors, and we run, after a lot of prayer, Adrian, I just knew that we needed to have somewhere safe, somewhere welcoming for older people to come within church. And so we set up a group called Connections, which has just grown and grown, with Love and Care, which is right at the centre, focus on the welcome. I have a fantastic team who are amazing at just coming alongside people, making sure that nobody's by themselves, the thought for the day, that kind of stuff. But it's been just a privilege. It's one of the largest groups for church-based groups in the UK now. And it's growing. It's wonderful.
I guess as we talk about work amongst seniors, like the rest of church, we want to build up the saints and we want to reach the lost, don't we? But both of those things are really integral. And it sounds like part of your work is doing both of those. Let's talk a little bit more about how we reach out with the good news of Jesus, just as you were hinting at earlier, Steve. Pippa, you know, you've had 12 years doing seniors work. You must have tried a lot of things.
Yes. Yes.
And you've actually produced something. We'll come and talk about that in a moment. Why do we need something specifically for seniors? Is it just that other things don't work, or can't be adapted? What's the challenge there?
The challenge is, well, one really good thing I would say about the group that we run, and I just think this is so important, for all ages, but specifically for seniors, it's very relational. I would say it's a relational model of evangelism, actually. It's about building trust. It's getting to know people, letting people know that they can trust you. And that almost gives you permission to talk more about the Lord. And yes, you're absolutely right. We've tried various different evangelistic courses. None of them have just connected well. And I don't know whether that's just because they're not written for old ears and eyes, perhaps. I've had people say things like, oh no, I'm not going to come to the course. What if I can't keep up? Or what if there's a test at the end? And even though I'd say there's no test, I promise you, people wouldn't come. So again, loads and loads of praying about that specifically. And this idea of using hymns as a very gentle, accessible way of reaching older people began to sort of grow. And long story short, after a lot of praying, after a lot of crying, I found I had a few days away. It was 2020, actually, after we spoke, Adrian, at the evangelism conference the year before. I went away specifically to pray, And as I started to pray, I just found myself crying. And I remember ringing my mum actually and just saying, what's happening? I'm trying to pray and all I can do is cry. And she said, darling, just go with it. So I did. So I prayed and I cried for 4 days about how we can reach this precious, sadly so often overlooked generation. And anyway, that was just before the pandemic hit, of course, in March that year. It's grown into the Daily Hope. I don't know if people have heard of the Daily Hope, which is a free phone line we set up with the Church of England and the amazing charity Faith in Later Life. And that's still going. We've had how many million minutes, Steve? I'm not an accountant. I never remember the number.
It's somewhere near 10 million minutes, 800,000 calls, something like that.
Yeah. And at the heart of the Daily Hope has been this series that we began to develop. And Steve has been amazing at writing these talks about hymns, the history of the hymn, the key part of the Christian faith. Anyway, I'll let you say a bit more about that, Steve.
Yeah. But why, Steve? I mean, hymns is... we always want to find a point of connection, don't we, in any of the actually any outreach work we're doing, whether we're working with 14-year-olds or 84-year-olds, we want to find a point of connection. Why are hymns such a powerful connection for an older generation, do you think, Steve?
I think there are a couple of things. Firstly, that generation, this generation in particular, grew up singing these hymns, so a lot of them are just sort of part of their part of their being, part of the culture they grew up in. They would have had school assemblies. Many of them probably, if you go back to, 50, 60, 70 years ago, we were much more of a church-going nation. So regardless of belief, people still would have heard the hymns and they would have been around. So they just sort of stick in your brain and you probably remember the words to the well-known ones. And then I think, in exactly as you say, for whether you're 14 or approaching 114 at the other end, when you want to share something about what we believe and about what God has done, you want to find something which is creates no hurdle, and actually sitting down and opening a big Bible immediately can sort of distance people until they actually know what's good about the Bible, and they want to look at it themselves. So it's not that. So it's just finding that easy way to start explaining and sharing God's love. And we just found that hymns were a wonderful, wonderful way to do that. And, even for the really elderly. So once it's very interesting, even if you've got early or late stage onset Alzheimer's and dementia, the last thing that goes is music. So we could tell stories of people who've listened to the hymn and a talk, and they even have lost their ability to speak, but the memory of the hymn is still there, and you'll find them singing even if they can't speak along to the hymn. And that's one of the most wonderful, powerful things. Music has a very powerful way to touch us right inside, and therefore hymns open that door in a very helpful way.
And I mean, I think I'm slightly worried here because I was at primary school in the 70s. I was born at the end of the 60s, and I did sing hymns at school. So I think this is a course for me. That's what I'm worried about. That's okay. I don't mind. But it is interesting how, I mean, I'm a musician anyway, but it is interesting how music, and I think you're right, and words, they do stick in your mind, don't they, in a way that almost nothing else does. We see that, don't we, in our families with an older generation and all sorts. So Pippa, tell us a little bit about how you started using hymns initially. So before we get to the thing the course you've written, just tell us how you might use hymns and things in a home or at your local church meeting. How does that work in practice?
I mean, we did just start using hymns, as you've just said, and then just sort of talking about the hymn, talking about the key message, perhaps. I found people love singing. It's just a great way of getting people along. Absolutely. Now, in pastoral visits on a one-to-one basis, again, it's lovely to be able to pick up your phone and play something on Spotify. And just yesterday, I was visiting two of our dear older chaps who are both about to die. They're both seem to go, and one of them I was just chatting to, and he he has come to know the Lord through coming to Connections and through hymns we love, which I know we haven't spoken about yet. But he, and so I was playing hymns with him. I was holding his hand and he was holding his little cross, and we were playing hymns together on my phone. And he, again, he is days away, I would say, maybe a day away, but big smile. As Steve has said, they somehow transport us to, just beautiful. And that's been our prayer, really, that the words, the lyrics, the Lord would just open them through this new series that we've developed.
There's a depth, isn't there, in these hymns, Steve? I think there's, you know, I love all kinds of music, but I think one of the things often we lose in modern music is a richness and a depth of theology. You know, you just take something, a hymn like Amazing Grace to describe the conversion experience, or Thine Be the Glory to describe the resurrection. Yeah. There's so much going on, actually, that you can connect with, isn't there? Which is part of the value of these wonderful hymns.
Absolutely, because they've already, the well-known ones, and my rule for choosing hymns to do is pretty much got to be in the Songs of Praise top 50. That's sort of
okay.
In that list, because they need to be ones that people know. Although I do slightly go outside that occasionally. But they capture sort of some really deep truths in just some very short, simple phrases. And the wonderful, yes, as a speaker, you know, all of us who speak and preach, what we long for is for people who hear us to go away with one or two key nuggets sort of lodged in their brain. The advantage with a hymn is the words are already there. So one I did recently, I've just been talking using My Song is Love Unknown, and really I describe the Christian gospel as love to the loveless shame that they may lovely be. You know, it talks about God's love, and there's a, you know, so I can talk about God's love, and then I can talk about the purpose for God's love, which is to transform us to be like him, that we might lovely be. Now, people will forget all of my words, but they'll go away going, love to the loveless shame that they might lovely be. And that's a easy and simple hook, and just putting a bit of flesh around that bone, as it were, is a wonderful way for people to be able to go away and remember what was said and to meditate and to allow God actually to work in their lives through that.
And I guess the great thing about these old hymns is not just that they've been tried and tested musically, you know, that they've got tunes that stick, and the rhythm of the words works and sticks, but actually because they're still going, they've been tried and tested theologically, haven't they? You know, that they're rich in truth. So I think, you know, we think it's not just a hymn, it's a sermon, really. Every hymn is a sermon on wonderful truths. And, you know, the hymns that were less good have fallen away, essentially.
Exactly.
And one or two exceptions, but they're not in your course. I'm glad to see that. But in general, the hymns that have stuck with us are just full of rich scriptural truth. So as we sing them, it's like the Colossians 3:16-17 thing, isn't it? As we sing to one another, we are proclaiming the word of Christ, the message of Christ to one another. So I like to think of a hymn like the hymns that you've outlined there as sermons, really. And basically we're just preaching someone else's sermon as we bring them to a Wesley hymn, or you know, a Russian hymn translated by Stuart Kine or Heine, whoever it is. You know, we're basically bringing them, aren't we, a sermon? We're bringing them truth.
Exactly. And then the stories behind the authors of those hymns are often also a really easy way, because as we know, telling a story is often the most effective way to get a truth across. So if you're talking about Wesley, you can tell the story of his life and his conversion and the real change. I mean, Amazing Grace, you mentioned earlier. I mean, the story of John Newton is just, in fact, when I do the story of Amazing Grace, I literally just do three stories. I do his story, the prodigal son story, and I use Les Miserables and the candlesticks and things, because just those three stories are the best way to get across what grace is.
Pippa, how do those stories resonate with older folk? How do they work in practice?
They absolutely love them. And I think their sort of historical aspect somehow really connects. So, you know, again, if you're not a Christian, but you're invited along to this series and just to learn about the hymns and the history, again, that's quite a low bar and sing. Mm. So, it just works.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't really thought about it as sort of being that you know, as that being the point of connection. I've often thought about the hymn as being a point of connection, but the story as well has a potency to it to draw people in. Yeah. Steve, let me come to you. Tell us a bit. If you're watching, I'm holding up Hymns We Love, which has been you've both written and has been produced by the Good Book Company. So it's a great resource. I love the concept even before I've seen it seen it produced. But Good Book Company done a great job in making it into a fine resource, I think. Obviously, they were working with excellent source material. And what is this? I mean, we're not necessarily doing a plug for the course, but I think the concept is something that people can grasp. Steve, tell us about this. Tell us what it is.
Yeah. So yeah, what Pippa and we found was that the sort of the standard course, you talk about Alpha or Christianity Explored, which are brilliant, just felt a bit coursey for older people. And Pippa tried them a few times, and just there was a barrier there. But we'd started using there'd been some sort of like thoughts for the day around hymns within connections, but both of us, when talking and praying about it, just felt if we could make that intentional. And so what we have, we took five well-known hymns. I do How Great Thou Art, and talk about creation and God's holiness effectively, how big he is. Go on to Rock of Ages, where obviously talk about the cross, Amazing Grace, to talk about grace. The Lord's My Shepherd, and we can talk a little bit about our journey through life. And again, that's the first time where I talk about what happens at the end and you know, Christ leading us home. And through the troubles, but there is always an eternal hope that we get to and deal with that. And then I do And Can It Be, and I can tell Charles Wesley's story there and about confidence. Our confidence is in ourselves, it's a confidence in God and what he's done, and it's about relationships. So just through those five steps, try and just take the key stories. It is Alpha Christianity Explored, one of those courses, if you like, condense into five short sessions based around those five hymns, and we walk away through those. And then we've done sort of three seasonal ones. So we've got one around Christmas, based on Hark the Herald Angels Sing, one for Easter on Thine Be the Glory, as you mentioned earlier, and then a more sort of general introduction one, which is My Song is Love Unknown. And again, in each of those, it's just an introduction to what Hymns We Love is like, but also just an introduction to Jesus in a really gentle way of just saying, come and see, come and explore.
But an introduction that's gentle, but you get to really solid and robust and, well, life-changing truth, don't you? That's the great thing about these.
We do. And because this originally came out of connections where, you know, Pippa has been very led by, both of us, by an expression actually from, Joseph used to get it with, about long before you believe. And we'd created a community, people created a community where people really belonged. But that gives you a right, in a sense, to be a little bit more so strong in what you say, a little bit more clear. And so it gave us the confidence to do that in a gentle way, but to really get through to the truth, if that makes sense.
Pippa, tell us a little bit about how this has gone down. What sort of fruit and encouragement have you seen from it?
It's been amazing, Adrian. Yeah, no, it's... I think people just love it. They love the fact that it's a series and not a course. They love to come and sing hymns. They love to discover, as we've said, about the author, but also about the meaning behind the hymn. And we've had lives transformed. I mean, some of the stories, Adrian, we've had about people just now saying, well, I'm now no longer frightened about dying. I know where I'm going. I can't wait to meet Jesus. I understand now why Jesus had to die. I'd never understood that before.
It's all worth it, isn't it? Did you hear that? It's all worth
it. So amazing. It really, yeah, just extraordinary. Just wonderful. And the other thing, just to say about the seasonal, the introductory three sessions that Steve just mentioned, that is a great way of starting. And I would encourage anybody listening, actually, to start with Hark the Herald Angels Sing and invite people along with mince pies and mulled wine or whatever for a session. And then if they enjoy that, which I'm sure they probably would, to then be able to say, you come back after Christmas and we're going to just look at five. It doesn't sound too daunting. It's not like 12 or whatever. Come along to five sessions looking at other hymns in a similar format. And it's a winner. The other thing just to say that on... the Hymns We Love, which you've just shown, I've got the leaders There we go. That's the leader's kit there. It's really worth getting that, because everything that you need to think about in terms of leading a Hymns We Love session is in that leader's kit. All stuff about building a team, which I'm passionate about. I know that I could never have done any of what I've done without my amazing team. They need thanking, they need appreciating and encouraging. And but, you know, the key things about the welcome, the atmosphere, the hospitality, the prayer being absolutely essential. I would just encourage people to get that and sort of read a little bit more about it. And
well, there you go. It's not a good plug.
Yeah.
And what I love about that, Pippa, is that's not just a concept that you and Steve have sort of dreamt up on a nice holiday in Mallorca somewhere, but actually it's born out of something you've done and has been proved. And I think that's the great encouragement to me, is that actually I can see how this could so easily be used in so many different contexts. And even, you might not thank me for saying this, the concept could be used, you know, even if you don't actually, I think you should go and buy it and use it, obviously, because it's been very well done. But if you wanted to do a different five hymns,
most definitely.
You know, because you think people are, where I live, know different hymns or whatever.
Yeah.
It works well at every level, doesn't it? I think it's a great concept. Pippa, the connections thing is people coming to you into church. What about running something like this in an older folks' home? Perhaps does that work? Does that work equally well?
Absolutely. That the beauty of this is it's incredibly versatile. So yes, you could run this in a church group for older people. You could take it to a care home. That's certainly what we've done. Just we've got two care homes that I have a team that we go to because they can't get out. So we've taken Hymns We Love. The other thing that we haven't yet mentioned, as well as the videos, you've got the scripts as well, which you can use and adapt. So you might find, particularly with a group who maybe some of whom have dementia, they might not be able to concentrate for 12, 15 minutes for a little talk, even though they're very appropriate for older people with slides and everything else. You might want to actually just use the Steve script and shorten it and have a live keyboard like I can see behind you, Adrian, you know, or a piano playing, and they love that. not only care homes, older people, you know, pastoral one-to-one visits, as I've mentioned. We're hoping to get this into prisons. There are obviously older prisoners who would really benefit from this too. So
yeah,
it's
really thought about that. Yes,
possibilities
that.
Are
I just imagine every prisoner is somehow doesn't get elderly in prison, but of course some prisoners do, don't they? Yeah.
Mm.
I hadn't thought about that. That's really
good. And as we said, Adrian, even people you're on my age will remember hymns from our youth. And we're not old at all.
And I suppose that's a moment of opportunity, isn't it? In 30 years, that's probably gone.
Yeah.
You know, I just think people in their 40s now, they're probably not going to be, you know, they might know Lord of the Dance. That's probably it. From school, whereas you know I was still singing He Who Would Be Valiant Be when I was at school. So maybe this is an opportunity of the moment, isn't it? And it's just,
I think so.
Pippa and Steve, really helpful just to be reminded not to forget older folk in church. And actually there's a wider point to make, isn't there, which is we want church to serve all kinds of people that are coming along, and I think we're often thinking, how can we make church great for families, how can we make church great for young people, which are really good questions to ask. But we need to be asking all the time, how can we make church a really good, meaningful experience for older folk as well? And that we mustn't just assume that we can take that for granted. I think that's fair, isn't it, Steve?
Absolutely. And I think having that mix within a church, you know, where every generation, from the youngest to the oldest, from the toddler group through to the oldest seniors, is valued and able to contribute. And I mean, the group we have at church, which Pippa leads, and we have about 150 regularly come each week. But those aren't people who are just receiving. They're also hugely involved in the day-to-day part, running of the church, the giving, sharing. I don't know, giving financially, but I mean giving in terms of service. And to have that mix of generations just adds depth and breadth to what we do as a whole church community. We're reflecting the community around us, which is what we should do.
And where else in the world do people gather across that that range of ages. And I can't think of anywhere. You know, people might gather with a similar interest at a football match or wherever, but actually, where else on a regular basis are children gathered with 70, 80-year-olds worshipping together, becoming friends, really? You know, my children, they're all grown up now, but my children growing up were friendly with octogenarians, and that's just such a rare thing, isn't it? It's a powerful witness, isn't it, Pippa, to the world?
Absolutely. I've just come away from the Keswick and Faith in Later Life conference actually last week, and that was that was the theme, intergenerational work in churches, and it's so important. We've got so much to learn, or yet the younger generation have got so much to learn from their elders, likely, you know, and vice versa. Whether that's technology or whether that's just wisdom of having been around the block quite a few times, and as you say, Adrian, there, I can't think of another place other than a church where that just can happen beautifully. So it's exciting.
We also may mention Faith in Later Life. We'll put the link in the show notes as well. It's a charity. It was set up initially Pilgrims Friends Homes. We're initiating that, and lots of other people have been involved, kind of across denominational group, but beginning to produce some of these resources and ideas for helping churches to reach seniors and to pass to seniors. So worth looking at their website. Some really good resources there. I think we do need more, don't we? I think we're all agreed, the three of us. We do need more resources.
Yes,
I think especially in some of those tricky areas. You know, how do we pass to people with dementia, for example, and those sorts of questions? We need more help. We need more thinking. But this has been a really good start today. So Pippa and Steve, let me thank you very much for your work and your enthusiasm. Very grateful to God for you both, and for this series on hymns. I think it's great, and I just love the concept. And what I particularly love about it is I think to myself, oh, we could do that.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much that places a burden on leaders. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. So something where you think to yourself, oh yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
I just think that's a great resource to have in our hands. So thank you so much for the work you put into it. Really appreciate it.
Thank you
for your enthusiasm and wisdom.
Yeah. Adrian, can I just very quickly say as well, on that point that you just made, if somebody in your church, somebody, you know, has a heart for older people, it doesn't have to be the church leader that runs this. So everything is in there. I just think as long as you've got a passion for evangelism and you are prayerful and you're really praying and you want to get people around you to help, so it's not a burden on church leaders. I'm so aware that a lot of church leaders at the moment are exhausted, whereas this is hopefully a real help and can just enable you to get going.
That's really helpful, Pippa. Thank you. And that's a great place to end. Thank you very much. The Lord bless you in your work, and if you're listening in your work to seniors, thank you for joining us. This has been Independence, the FIEC podcast. And if you liked this episode, or indeed like the podcast, it just helps us if you can rate and review it. So please do that. Thanks, Pippa and Steve. And thank you for joining us. And we'll catch up soon.
Thank you.